Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. It's been a few days since we've had an episode. Hope you guys had a Merry Christmas, had a good time off with the family. The Grizzlies got blown out since we last talked. The Grizzlies won one since we last talked. And the Grizzlies have a game over the weekend. We'll get into all that and more on this episode of Locked On Grizzlies. Zach Randolph does it again. Three-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the show. Like I mentioned, it's been a few days since we've had a show. I appreciate you guys sticking around. I know originally I said we were going to have a show on Christmas Eve, Thursday. So we missed a few shows, and to be quite honest, my grandfather has cancer, and he had a few setbacks, so they don't live in town either, so we've been scrambling, trying to kind of get down to where they live in Florida to see him. So things have not been awesome, but nonetheless, I got to spend time with my own family at Christmas, so hope you guys had a good one. So that is why we didn't have a show those few days I said we're going to, so I apologize for that. I know you guys understand. Nonetheless, let's get to it. The Grizzlies got blown out against the Spurs, and that was just a game, like it was a couple record-setting games. I believe it was the highest game that the Grizzlies got scored against ever in FedEx Forum, the most points ever scored. You know, the Grizzlies' defense wasn't great, but there's not a whole lot to talk about this game, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it since it was two games ago. Other than the fact the Spurs were just awesome and literally hit every single thing known to man. They ended up shooting like 70 or 80% or something like that, which is just kind of crazy. Like, it's a rare thing. It just kind of, like, you always think, oh, that team's never going to continue to shoot that well. They're, you know, always say, like, oh, they're shooting 80% right now in the first quarter, but they won't continue to shoot 80% for the entire game. Well, that actually was true for that game. So, and I don't think I've ever seen that. Like, that amount of, I mean, I'm sure we have, but just the amount of shooting and how well they shot was just really, really impressive. Now, the Grizzlies' defense was terrible, and they gave them a lot of those opportunities. So, like, you know, pretending like they didn't have open shots is just kind of silly because they did have a lot of open shots. But at the same time, it was just a crazy game, and they just shot an insane amount. Like, just percentage-wise, they just literally hit everything. So, not much to say on the Spurs game. The Thunder game that happened last night on, Thursday night, it was an impressive game. The Grizzlies did a really good job at the end of the game with their offense. Now, their defense was still suspect on this, and at this game, the Grizzlies ended up scoring 110 points, but the Thunder defense held them to 97, which hasn't happened, held them to under 100 points, which hasn't happened since the Bulls game a few weeks ago. So it's been a long time since the Grizzlies have actually held a team under 100. But their offense was what I was most impressed with. Their offense down the stretch continued to perform, and then what they did, what they were supposed to do. I mean, they scored the basketball. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. But a lot of times we've seen this offense kind of fall apart. We've seen Jay Crowder or another wing, Dylan Brooks, just go down, take a bad shot. And we saw that last night too. There's there at one point Jay Crowder just came down and shot a top of the arc three-pointer and bricked it pretty bad. Like, that's just not the offense. But they were able to get back into the rhythm of the offense. They were able to get back into what they were, we didn't know what they were ultimately trying to do with, you know, from the opening tip. So, like, that was the biggest thing to me, as their offense really held true to what they were trying to do in the entire game. And they continued to run their offense. There's a lot of sets, you know, things that they're actually running, trying to get open shots, things like that. And there were times when, you know, they had a good offense run and they didn't make the shot. Like, the offense, then the end of the game, end of the possession didn't end with a bucket. And that's okay too, because you still want your offense just to run. Like, as long as your offense is just running and how it's supposed to, you know, what you think you're supposed to go, and you get the shot you're looking for, If it doesn't go in, that's totally fine, and that's okay, and that's going to happen on, you know, multiple possessions sometimes, and that's okay too. But as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do, that's really what it boils down to, because the Grizzlies, a lot of times we see at the end of the games, they shut down and they start to kind of basket hunt, they're starting to ISO hunt, and there's not a whole lot that you can do with those type of things. So, you know, that's all that matters, is their offense really what held them in the game. Now, their defense did a good job, like I said, you know, under 100 points for the Thunder. But at the same time, you know, throughout the game, they had a lot of shots that they were able to get in the last game. You know, Dennis Schroeder had a lot of the same possessions. Chris Paul had a lot of the same possessions where they're getting to that middle of the floor free throw line jumper. And they miss a lot of those. They miss a lot of those shots, too. I mean, Chris Paul ends up with 23 points. Dennis Schroeder ends up with 20 points. But it wasn't the type of points they were getting last time where they were really just getting into the, you know, teeth of the paint and making those shots. Now, they were getting to the kind of the same spots, but the Grizzlies did the better job of pushing them further out. So they were still getting those pick and roll kind of off the screen, getting into the lane. And there were a few possessions where they got pretty deep in the lane, but the majority of the shots, they were pushing them further out. So the shots become harder and harder. So they, yes, they got their points, but it wasn't to where they were exactly the last time. So it was a little bit of an improvement. I still think that their defense can improve even more if they were to change their scheme and to understand that after that pick and roll, that first one, really trying to eliminate the drive more, I think would catapult their defense into a better, kind of a, just a different stratosphere, you know, different level, because I think Jonas Valanciunas and Brandon Clark and those bigs can handle that. I just don't think they're being put in the position, in the opportunity to be able to handle that, to be honest with you. I mean, Jonas Valanciunas is the one that will get burned the most if you push him higher onto a kind of a hedging pick and roll or a blitzing the pick and roll or things like that. Just stepping up higher to the high screen. You don't even have to blitz. You don't even have to hedge, but just stepping up higher to eliminate that first drive and to allow the offensive player, excuse me, allow the guard on the Grizzlies to get back to their player. So I think they're being, I think it's a scheme thing, because I see Jaren Jackson Jr. do it. I see Brandon Clark do it when they're definitely capable of getting up higher and not, you know, not getting blown by. And that's really the thought, is that Jonas Valanciunas is backing down because you don't want him to get blown by on the drive and just give up open layups. But honestly, at this point, this is definitely not working. So I'd rather go that route and have him and I have an opportunity to step up on those pick and rolls and to be able to stop the drive there. So I think they have a long way to go on their defense. Obviously, it's clear that's not their highlight of this team is not defense. So it's very clear. But I think they could improve their defense by doing a few different things. And just the way they play the high pick and roll, because what they're doing right now is not working. Again, they let the Oklahoma City Thunder get into those certain spots. Now, they weren't as close as they were before. And you know, Dennis Schroeder and Chris Paul also just missed a lot of those shots that really what put them back into the game the previous game against the Thunder, where they were getting really, really easy shots and they were knocking them down. And so, you know, that is really the kind of one of the bigger differences in this game. Jaren Jackson Jr. had a really, really good game. Struggled from three, only 2 for 9, but still really taking the threes at an insane amount right now. Just really, really impressive. But 20 points, 9 for 19, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Did just a little bit of everything. Jonas Valanciunas also had a really good game. Didn't rebound the ball as well as you'd like him to, but he was going up against Steven Adams. So I'll give him, you know, Steven Adams is an incredible rebounder, so I will give him a pass on that. But still, 21 points, incredibly efficient, 9 for 11. Just really what you want Jonas Valanciunas to see. A lot of second chance points, a lot of dump offs, like a lot of drives and kicks to Jonas where he was just in the right spot and where you kind of want him to be. And that's what you want from Jonas Valanciunas. You don't want him out on the perimeter. You want him just in the lane, taking up space, being a big guy where he can get dumped off to as Ja Morant drives or as Dylan Book drives, any of those type of things. And that's what you saw against the Thunder last night. And I thought that was a really, really good part of Jonas Valanciunas' game and really helped the offense stay on track. Just him being available to those guys as they're driving, him being just a big guy and available for lobs, for second chance points, offensive rebounds after the drive happens. Even if, you know, that drive, Ja Morant drives and he misses the shot, and Jonas Valanciunas is right there to clean up the bucket and clean up the rebound and score the bucket. So that's what you want from Jonas Valanciunas. You don't really need him to do a lot of things on the offensive end scheme-wise. You don't need him going one-on-one. Like, he's a better guy just being a big, being there when the opportunity arises for him. That's when he's the most efficient and he's the most effective. Brandon Clark, 5-for-6, 2-for-2 from three. And we said he wasn't a three-point shooter. 13 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Really, really good job. Most importantly, Kyle Anderson, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 block, 2 points in just 12 minutes. Why Kyle Anderson's still on the bench playing 10 to 15 minutes a game, I'll never know. This team is better with him on the floor. This team is better with Brandon Clark, Kyle Anderson, De'Anthony Melton on the floor together. Like, he just makes people better. He makes the right pass. Yes, he didn't score last night, but that's, you know, sometimes you don't need him to score. And the bench overall did a great job. That's the biggest thing for the Grizzlies. The bench did a great job just doing their job. We'll talk about the bench a little bit more coming up after the break. The bench was huge for the Grizzlies last night. Brandon Clark had 30 points, like I mentioned. Solomon had a couple points. Tyus Jones had 15 points. De'Anthony Melton had 9 points. Grayson Allen had 5 points. They did an excellent job just doing their jobs. And I talked about this before, and that's a lot about bench players, role players in the NBA, just doing what they're supposed to do, doing what they're asked to do, and not really trying to go out of their comfort zone and do a lot of different things, you know, doing just what's right in front of them and just doing their job. And that's what the Grizzlies bench did last night. De'Anthony Melton had 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, just did a really good job just what he's supposed to do, what he's asked to do on the floor. And so they did a good job against the Thunder's bench. They did a good job of keeping the offense going while the starters are taking a rest. And you see that a lot of times, you know, starters will go out of the game and bench units will just struggle. And so that is the most important thing. It's just continuing to have an efficient offense while your starters are taking a rest, and it doesn't force the starters to have to go back in maybe earlier than they were thought they were going to have to, or do play more minutes than they thought they were going to have to. All those type of things go into having a good, solid bench unit, which the Grizzlies have. The Grizzlies have shown to have a really good bench unit so far this year. Again, Kyle Anderson should be playing entirely more minutes than he is. He makes everybody around him better, and we've seen the plus. I mean, I've seen the net ratings on all the lineups, and some of the best lineups the Grizzlies use are with Kyle Anderson in the lineup. And I don't know what's going on. I don't understand why he's not playing as much as he is. Kyle Anderson over the last 10 games, 14 minutes. But that's it. Like, 14 minutes is his average over the last 10 games. And you've seen some of those games where he's been 6 minutes, 7 minutes. I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on with Kyle Anderson. I don't know why he's being used as little, small, you know, not as much as he should be. Obviously, that has a lot to do with Solomon Hill, Jay Crowder being here. They're obviously playing in the same, kind of the same spot that Kyle Anderson plays. But, like, there's no reason Solomon Hill should be playing more minutes than Kyle Anderson. Like, I get it. Solomon Hill's playing career highs and shooting, you know, playing career high minutes, shooting career high percentages. I get all that. But Kyle Anderson is here for another 3 years, including this one. Solomon Hill won't be here after the trade deadline. They just you got to invest in what your future holds. And like I mentioned before on the same topic, it's a fine line for coaches to have, you know, veterans that they're going to help them try to win the game versus other developmental players. But Kyle Anderson is not that. Like, he's not some type of developmental young player you got to, like, worry about. He's a good, solid player and is, I'd say, a veteran in this league. I mean, he knows what he's doing out on the court, and he's not going to cost you – not going to cost you possessions. It's not going to turn the ball over. Things like that. So I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on with Kyle Anderson. Nonetheless, the Grizzlies have another game coming up over the weekend. So we're going to preview that game throughout the rest of the segment into the next segment. Talk about what the Grizzlies need to do to be able to win that game against the Denver Nuggets. It's going to be a big one. It's going to be difficult to win because the Denver Nuggets are a very, very good team. They've already played once this year. The Denver Nuggets won that game 131-114. It was pretty early on in the season, but Jamal Murray had a monster game. 39 points, 31 minutes, 14-for-24, 7-for-12 from three. Just an insane game. Paul Millsap had a pretty good game, but like that last game, that was it. Like, I mean, Nikola Jokic didn't really do a lot. 9 points and 8 assists. But not like scoring the basketball. He only had 9 points. He really did a good job of holding to 9 points. But he didn't really even take that many shots. He only had seven shots. But Jamal Murray is the one that you got to worry about. Jamal Murray is the guy that can really get hot and really shoot the ball quite well. Nonetheless, like that's something that was a really, really big struggle for the Grizzlies, is contain him on the perimeter, contain his drives. Like, something they're going to struggle with this game as well. I mean, Jamal Murray is just a good player. That's just really what it boils down to. And there really wasn't really anybody that stepped up for the Grizzlies. Ja Morant was still kind of getting his footing. It was earlier in the season, 13 points, 6 assists. Jaren Jackson Jr. had the game high, 22 points. And Brandon Clark had a great game and 19 points as well. So that is what happened in the last matchup between the Grizzlies and the Denver Nuggets. The last 10 for the Denver Nuggets, they are 7-3 over the last 10. However, they just lost to the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Grizzlies are 6-4 over the last 10. I obviously won against the Oklahoma City Thunder, so they'll try to make it 2 in a row this game again on tomorrow, Saturday afternoon, at I believe 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So an early afternoon matchup for the Grizzlies tomorrow. Injury report for the Grizzlies, obviously this is today, not tomorrow, but I believe it should hold true for the Grizzlies and for the Nuggets. They don't have any player on the injury report, so I think that should hold true for those two teams. I don't see anybody going down unless someone gets rested, but I don't see that happening for either team. But matchups we should be looking for for these teams are Ja Morant versus Jamal Murray. Like, again, like we talked about, Jamal Murray is big. Jamal Murray is a very good player in this league. So Ja Morant's going to have to step up and play better defense on Jamal Murray. You might even see Dylan Brooks get switched on to him to maybe give Ja Morant a little bit of a rest. I don't think so, but you might see that Dylan Brooks get swapped on to Jamal Murray just for defensive purposes, just to try to slow him down or just try to mix up the looks. A lot of times teams will swap different players onto to a kind of a better offensive player just to give them different looks, just to give them different, you know, sizes, things like that, just to swap it up a bit. So you might see Ja Morant start. You may see Dylan Brooks swap over just to try to change things up again, so he doesn't get one player's tendencies, doesn't figure out one player's weaknesses, all those type of things. The other big matchup they're going to be looking for is Nikola Jokic versus Jonas Valanciunas. Again, like I mentioned, Nikola Jokic didn't play all that great in the last matchup, and they still won. So that's kind of scary, because Nikola Jokic is a very, very good player. Only had 9 points in our last matchup. But both of these guys, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, they both average 17 points per game this year. So that gives you an idea of their offense for this Denver Nuggets. Those two guys are it. Like, those, they are their offense. And so you have to really slow them down, and you got to body up Nikola Jokic. You got to, if you're Jonas Valanciunas, you got to watch the rebounds, like all those type of things. Just playing really good defense on those two guys, because those are their guys. Those are their guys on offense. That's what, you know, stopping them goes a long way to beating this team. And again, they won the last game without Nikola Jokic really playing well at all. So it's scary to think if both of those guys get going. Let's take another quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the keys of the game for this game against the Denver Nuggets. Welcome back to the show. Wrapping up this show, talking about the Grizzlies versus the Nuggets, a preview of this game coming up on Saturday afternoon. Talked about the matchups, talked about the injury report. The biggest thing, the keys to that game, let's talk about the rankings, where they rank in this league right now for the Denver Nuggets. They have 107 points per game. That's 23rd in the NBA. They don't score a lot, but guess what? Neither does their opponents. They are first in the NBA in opponents' points per game at 103 right now. Offensive rating is 109. That's good for 14th in the NBA. And their defensive rating is 104 points per 100 possessions. That's good for third in the NBA. But they're 29th in pace. So this is a team that really slows it down. This is a team that it's the best defensive team in the league. It really, hands down, is the hardest. This is going to be the toughest test the Grizzlies are going to have on offense they've had all year long. And this, it's a different defense than what you saw in the last match between the Nuggets. They are very, very, they stepped it up even more than what they were playing in the previous game with the Grizzlies. So They're a very good team on defense. They don't score a lot, but they don't need to because they hold their, you know, they limit their possessions. They slow the game down. Just like kind of a, it's almost like an old school Grizzlies team, but they slowed the game down. They made every possession count. They limited all their other teams to, you know, very, very small number of possessions. They didn't have to score a lot because they didn't, you know, they held their opponents to such little points per game. So kind of a very, very kind of throwback to old school Grizzlies and grit and grind in that area for the Denver Nuggets. So that's kind of gives you an idea of what they are as a team. How can the Grizzlies win this game? Well, the first thing is create turnovers and fast break points. The Denver Nuggets turn the ball over more than most teams. They're top 10 in the league in turning the ball over. So if you're able to create turnovers, you're able to create extra possessions for yourself as a team, but also you're able to create usually fast break points. And now I say turnovers, you got to turn the ball over in steals and active possessions. It's not like a dead ball turnover where the Nuggets just throw the ball out of bounds. That doesn't help you because you still have to take the ball out. You let the defense get set up, but get out and running with the ball, steals, active hands, deflections. That's where the Grizzlies are going to be able to have success against this Nuggets teams is fast break points and creating turnovers and extra possessions that they wouldn't already have from this team. The next thing is defensive rebounding. Keeping them off the offensive glass is huge for the Grizzlies. They have to clear rebounds. Jonas Valanciunas is going to have to do a really good job of keeping them all their bigs off the offensive glass, but also DeAnthony Melton, the guards, the wings, they're going to have to come in and rebound too. The Denver Nuggets are second in the league in offensive rebounds. They average over 11 rebounds per game, offensive rebounds per game, just offensive rebounds. So cleaning up the defensive glass is going to have to be huge for the Grizzlies. Don't let them get second chance opportunities off of offensive rebounds because usually a lot of times second chance points when they come off an offensive rebound, it's a very, very close rebound to the bucket. Usually those shots are very easy. You saw that in the game against the Nuggets with Jonas Valanciunas getting a few of those. Like that's something that's very easy to do for them. So everybody's going to have to rebound the ball from top to bottom on the roster, keeping them off the offensive glass, cleaning those boards up, and not letting them get second chance points. The next key to the game is points in the paint. Denver holds teams of 47, average 47 points in the paint. So again, it goes back to this defensive-minded team for the Nuggets. They are very good at holding teams to a small number of points in the paint. Well, the Grizzlies are the number one team at scoring in the paint in the league right now at 53 points per game. So if the Grizzlies can use their style of play, get into the paint early and often, and maybe they change that idea of limiting their points in the paint. They're going to have to really do a good job of running the pick and roll, really do a good job of driving the ball, getting into the paint, and scoring the basket where they are used to scoring the basketball. You know, those threes that they shoot also set up going into the paint. So the threes and making threes are effective at getting shooters to close out to you at a three ball when you can pump fake and then drive into the paint and get a better shot. So making threes go right into this same conversation of getting points in the paint. They go hand in hand. So making threes, doing a good job of being efficient at three balls sets up points in the paint because if you're not a good three-point shooting team, they're just going to sag off you. They're going to let you shoot as many threes as you want because you're not very good at it. So those things go hand in hand with getting into the paint and scoring the ball efficiently. Next key to the game is pace, getting up and down the court. Don't let the defense get set for this Denver Nuggets team because that's where they are very, very good. Once their defense gets set, they are very good at defending the basketball in half-court defense. And that's kind of the same thing you saw in the Grizzlies' old style of play. Once they got set in their half-court defense, they were very good at rotating. They're very good at being, you know, the help man coming over. And that's something the Nuggets do a really, really good job of. So pushing the pace, again, we've noted the Grizzlies are a very, very fast-paced team, but pushing the pace, especially in this game, not letting the defense get set up, that's where they're going to get their best offense. Once they get to the offense early and often, don't let the shot clock get down into the teens, the 9, 8, 7, 6, things like that. Getting to your offense early, not letting the defense get set up in half-court defense, that's where you're going to see success against this Denver Nuggets team. Last key to the game is bench play, something we talked about against the Thunder. But the Grizzlies bench have one of the better benches in the league, top 10 bench in the league. Well, the Nuggets have one of the worst benches in the league. They are 20th in the league in bench scoring. And the Grizzlies will have an opportunity, just like we saw Brandon Clark score 19 points in the previous game. The Grizzlies will have an opportunity to have a very, very good game with their bench against the Nuggets bench. If they can continue to be efficient in offense and continue to score the basketball while their starters are on the bench, that will be huge for this Grizzlies team. Just like we saw in this previous Thunder game, the bench played well, kept them in the game, didn't really lose the lead, really almost at times pushed the lead to higher and higher. That's what you're going to have to do against the Nuggets as well. And they will have an opportunity to do that because I think Grizzlies bench players will have an advantage over the Nuggets bench players. That's the keys to the game. That's how the Grizzlies can win this game. I don't know if they're going to be able to, but again, the Denver Nuggets are a very good team, but the Grizzlies are a very different team that they played last time. They've been playing much, much better as of late because one of the main things is because of that three-point ball going in. When the Grizzlies are making threes at the rate they take them, they are a very, very different team and a much, much better team than when they started the year when they were not making that many threes at all. Again, I hope you guys enjoyed it. I apologize for not having those shows up over the week. But I hope you guys understand the situation that we're in. We'll be back on Monday with a Monday mailback episode. So if you haven't already got your questions in, go ahead and get your questions in now. You can DM them to me on Twitter at King_producer or on the show handle at LockedOnGrizz. Either one, get those questions in so we'll have a Monday mailback show on Monday. We'll talk to you guys then.